Arts Festival and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show that celebrates creating and stories and all things imagination. I can't wait to help you tune your imagination as we get together on this beautiful, almost summer morning. I want to start with that fact that summer's around the corner, and each year at this time, that's when I tell myself, this summer will be my best summer. And it's a time to dream about what you wish for in the next season. Where will your dreams transport you? And when I said that, I thought about the word transport. And I thought, it's such a powerful word. And our imaginations are the tool that take us there. And art can be that pathway. And so think about that. Transport. It's such a powerful word. Art transports. And art transports us. I'm referencing the noun that transports, that means a state of being carried away by overwhelming emotion, and the verb that signifies that something holds us spellbound. Art transports us to rapture and exaltation, or makes us feel enchantment or delight, and so much more. So art has that power, and we have the power to use our minds to mingle with the art we experience and transport us to another place, another vision of the world, the pieces of our dreams, the magic of wonder. So I invite you to transport yourself through art in the next week. Engage, listen, experience, and discover what's on that pathway. And this week on Art Zany Radio, we are going to transport ourselves to an outdoor summit music concert in Vienna. Join me as we preview the next Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concert. And I'm going to turn up the mics and welcome to the studio two longtime contributors to Art Zany Radio. Thank you both for being here, Paul Niemestel.
Can you hear me, Paula?
I can hear you. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then we're off to a good start. Paul Niemestel is the conductor of and founder of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And also joining us is Clark Onosorge. Welcome.
Clark is the president of the association, just in case you're... We're about to say that.
That is exactly what I had on my list, the president of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra Council.
Well, well done with the pronunciation of my name, too. That's
Oh, good. I've been working on it for a while.
Thank you.
Yes, and this concert is happening next week, so folks should get that on their calendar, June 2nd at Oddfellows Park in Northfield at 7, and then Saturday on the 3rd at Central Park Bandshell in Red Wing at 3 p.m. A really wonderful lineup. And these outdoor concerts have been so much fun, so I'm thrilled that you're bringing them back and doing this again.
We want to make it regular every year.
Yeah, it is. It's a really lovely way to be in community together. And for folks that don't know the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, it was founded in 1979 by Paul Niemestel. Wow, that was a few years ago.
I was so young. and innocent and ignorant.
But you're still doing it.
But I was brave.
Exactly, and that is a quality we admire. And it is a program, the Northfield Arts Guild, so you can get all that information about it at northfieldartsguild.org. Just click on the arts lineup, look at music, and then you'll find a link to CVRO.
Right. The important link I just discussed with a fan of ours is when you go to the Arts Guild site, look for music first. Because the orchestra, it doesn't come up as a word on the main page. It comes up as music. And then you go from music, and then there's a Cannon Valley Orchestra link, and there you'll find information.
Good. Yes, that's important to know. And folks can learn about the history or upcoming events. and check out the history of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. So we were here back in the spring, I think, early spring.
I don't remember anymore.
Well, we had a concert we celebrated. Yeah. I think you weren't here.
That's possible.
No, it's spring now.
It is spring now.
We were here back in March, probably.
Yes, exactly, for another concert. But since then, why don't you update us on your musical world and things that are happening, maybe your summer plans, where you plan to transport yourself this summer?
Well, one of the things that, there are many things we can discuss here. About my personal whatever, but I wanted to mention something about what we're trying to do in June with this concert. This weekend is Memorial Day, and we try when we can to honor those people who have been contributed to the orchestra as a player or in other ways over a long period of time. People who really pioneered the development of the orchestra. And one of those people that we want to particularly honor and pay attention to this particular year is Gary Eisenminger.
Yay, Gary!
I don't know if you knew he passed away recently, but he was an emeritus professor of philosophy at Carleton and a very effusive guy, very very friendly and helpful. And he was the timpani player for the CVRO for many, many years. And we've discussed with his family and among ourselves how we could possibly honor him. And we hadn't really thought of anything, but something came up this spring that we thought would be, in my mind anyway, a way to do this. And so we have been thinking about making Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra banners to put up near us when we perform so that we draw attention to the fact that we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that.
Oh, congrats.
And what I want to do now is I'm going to give you this this phone. It's ready to go, if you don't mind, Paula. And I'm going to pull up. I don't know. You like to have live action on radio, don't you? Isn't that kind of nice?
It is verbal.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this here. So what we're going to do
live,
is...
It's live. Live.
Yeah, Clark and I are going to hold this
okay.
banner up.
This is the first Arts Any Radio. Okay, I'll grab a picture of that. Okay.
And I want to use this photograph a lot, so make a good one.
Oh. Well, okay, so you guys got to straighten out the banner. It's okay.
I know.
Am I too low?
We're trying.
Okay.
What do you need?
I think it's good.
Okay.
Okay, you look at those pictures and tell me.
Let's just take a couple.
Just take two or three.
We're not going to look that.
Yeah,
great,
and for the people in the audience that want to know what we're doing here, we're holding up a big banner behind us, and we're both looking with big smiles on our faces while we're not chattering.
It is a wonderful thing because as people come, especially with these outdoor concerts, and walk by and wonder, well, who's that orchestra?
Right.
And then you have an actual official sign that's going to last for a long time.
I hope a long time, yes.
All right. So I've got a tough question for Paul. How many years, because a few years ago we were doing, honorifics for the long-time contributors. How many years do you think Gary was in the orchestra?
Oh, at least
23 now.
At least
added on.
Yeah, at least 20 more probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably the 90s. Yeah.
So, 33 years, something like that, or 32 years.
Well, we're 35, so he was just, I don't know if he was with us at the very beginning. I don't remember, but anyway, we miss him and we wanted his family and his friends to know and we wanted to do it publicly. This is my idea of how to get it done.
That's delightful, and it is amazing, and it says something about the orchestra that someone would commit to that for that many years and, learn each of those pieces. He was still, teaching when he was doing this, and just to have that talent and to share it with our community is a real wonderful thing, and that's really exciting. I'm really thrilled.
So that's one of the things that's on my mind. I'm going to do a little bit of traveling with my Finnish brass band this summer. Not a lot. I was very active with the airlines last year, so I'm trying to back off a little bit this year. My wife and I are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary.
What? 50?
In July.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, so we're having our all of our children and grandchildren back, so have a big reunion with the neighborhood and so forth. So that's a big one.
That is. Congrats on that.
Yeah. Hold on. Do you have anything to say to, you know, preface our fall schedule with regard to that or no?
Oh, well, I could do that. We are still in the galleys with our plan for the fall for the fall and winter concerts. But one of the things I've done in honor of our anniversary, we've contacted the composer conductor Timothy Marr, who's just recently retiring from St. Olaf, to commission him to write a new harp concerto for Eleanor.
Oh.
And we're going to...
Hopefully she knows this already.
Oh, yes.
You didn't spoil
knows.
Anything.
Thank you.
No, but that's all right. She's visiting her cousins in Ohio. She's not going to hear this anyway. She has to be involved because she's going to advise him about what things she can and can't or wants or what doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start to collaborate here pretty soon. But anyway, that's... one of the fun things. And thank you for reminding me that that's a good time right now to mention. So watch out for the November calendar for CVRO. Don't want to miss that.
You've got all kinds of exciting things. Thank you for sharing those on Art Zany Radio.
Well, we'll be playing that piece in November, as you said. What is it? November 7th or something like that? First week of November, second week of November?
Don't quote me on those things.
No,
those
me things, either.
Those will come. Yeah, we can check the calendar.
Yes.
How about for you, Clark? What's been happening in your musical world in these last couple of months?
Well, I wouldn't say anything particularly unusual. Just trying to get used to, just trying to get prepared for this concert and, taking care of other stuff.
Well, let's take a minute to talk about the council, because maybe people aren't aware of what role that plays in supporting the orchestra or, the business of the orchestra, because that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
Right. Yes. As always, I'm a little bit reluctant to mention people in particular, but We have a rotating council where people serve 3-year terms and 3 folks for each year. And in particular, we've got, I'm just going to mention Heather as somebody who takes care of all of our musical organizations.
She's our librarian forever.
Right. Make sure that it's available for people. Puts it down at, by all means, Graphics, where
it can
Rob
get checked
Chanelak,
out. Yeah.
Rob Chanelak graciously offers his premises as a pickup spot and does a lot of our posters and promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to arrange things, venues and other events in a way that supports the overall mission of the regional orchestra.
Yeah, we have maybe 2 different criteria for having selections of people onto the council. One of them is probably a skill set or a particular aptitude or interest. It might be something like communication or something like that. So there's a kind of a list of to-dos. One of them is logistics, and one of them is communication and advertising, and another one is personnel, and that's broken up by so there's a representative from each section of the orchestra that sort of looks after sort of rounding up the herd, so to speak. and then we do other kinds of things in the practical sense to try to make the year work. And then we have the other criteria is sectionalization. So there is somebody from woodwinds, there's somebody from brass, there's somebody from percussion, there's somebody from strings.
Mm-hmm.
And we also try to get somebody, at least one representative from outside the orchestra's family who just represents the town or the community and their views on things that we may miss.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a pretty functional operation, and it helps a lot. We have to collaborate always with the Arts Guild to make sure that what we're doing is not in countermanding what they're trying to do for us, so that we're trying to work in tandem. And that's one of the regular bits of quote-unquote communication that has to take place.
Yeah, I think it's important that people recognize that there's a lot that goes on to put on a concert and to keep the orchestra healthy and growing and, you know, making sure all everything happens, you know, in a way that's orderly.
Right.
Yeah. Can I just throw in that one of the really cool things about the orchestra is that, commensurate with Paul's original vision, and we are the Cannon Valley Research or Regional Orchestra. And so we've got folks currently from Red Wing, Owatonna, Faribault, Lakeville. In the past, we've had folks coming over from New Ulm. It's a completely volunteer effort that really brings together a whole bunch of folks. And it's one reason that, you know, it's Paul's notion of the commissioned piece for this fall. It's one reason that CMAC, the Southeast Minnesota Arts Council, has been happy to fund us over time. They are understanding of our vision and the commitment of a lot of folks to come and participate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say along those lines, we've opened up a little collaboration with the Owatonna Symphony Orchestra. A bunch of us went down and played with them on their spring concert a month or so ago, and we're hoping to pursue that and, you know, maybe get enhanced collaboration and, you know, put on some bigger symphonic works in the future that combine our two orchestras, because they have a pretty effective group of folks going on there, and as we do. But, you know, if you can put together 80 or 90 people instead of
the more the merrier,
the 45 or 60 that we usually have, it could be really cool.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to say that when it comes down to it, it's the folks, you know, like Paul, who have had the long-term vision and continued effort to get these things going that makes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a reputation that is sterling, I think, and people are wanting to contribute and be a part of it. And it's a great place for people who have talents with instruments and but don't have a place, you know, to go. And once they graduate, as you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, they graduate or they, you know, get wrapped up in other things and don't have a way to be a part of an orchestra.
Right. And we become that resource. And I'm happy to say that over the last few years, our list of capable and interested musicians has grown. It's growing. More people are coming in than are leaving the town. It's just quite satisfying. Let's talk about music outdoors in Northfield in June. This is a series of concerts. I think this might be our third season of doing this, where we do something at the beginning of the summer and at the end of the summer in early September. One of the issues is what to do with summers with our group, because so many of our musicians have other commitments during those months. A lot of them dealing with either family or vacations or travel or other issues. And our previous efforts to try to do something like with a steady June, July rehearsal schedule just resulted in disappointment. So we just stopped doing that. So this is kind of like a way to slip something in and make it look like we've got a summer schedule by hitting the very end of the season, when just before all the graduations are done and before everyone. And also, you notice that it's late in May, early June. So we've missed all of the end-of-the-year concerts by the numerous other affiliations that our players have with, as parents of high school students, as teachers, as whatever. And so they're relatively free in that little pocket of time before the summer starts.
The sweet spot.
And yeah, and then in the fall they come back. The teachers have got their classrooms all set up, and the kids have gotten their backpacks all dusted off for school and get ready to go, so mom and dad can get back into the instruments again, and we can catch them before they start other important parts of their life later on. So it's been very, very successful.
I think it's a wonderful experience. I've been to, I think, all of them, and very much enjoyed the outdoor experience of an evening concert on Friday, and then afternoons one of the days on the weekend.
I've been, of course, racking my brain for themes for this concert. And the one that I've got in my head now, that's the title of which is called "Summer Has Come In," and it's "Summer Has Come In in a Loud Cuckoo." It's an old Renaissance dance song.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, they talk about the Book of Erteth.
Is that the...
That's an anal sound coming from a deer.
Well, there you go.
Where did we go? We just got zany.
Yeah, we were into themes.
Okay. Clark has something to say.
Yeah, I'm going to cut back to the sweet spot of this one, because... One of the ideas that Paul had, that's a nice one, is to spread our spring concert a little bit out in a broader community sense. And so we had the idea this year of including an ice cream social to benefit the Key.
Yes, let's get to that.
Northfield Union of Youth. And Just Food has... Our local food co-op that everybody should be a member of has generously offered up ice cream and cones, and we'll be providing water, and the Key is providing a cotton candy machine, which is pretty cool, and, you know, young people to scoop stuff and sell stuff. And so... They're going to be in attendance at the concert.
That's on Friday night.
Correct. Yep. 7 o'clock. So you could maybe show up a little bit early if you want to get your cone and sit down in your chair. And
there are bathrooms there, so you can wash your kids' hands afterwards.
Yes, that's good. And, you know, water is important when you have cotton candy and ice cream cones.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So I can't really express... sufficiently how nice it is to have families coming and putting out blankets and kids, because there's room at Oddfellows Park for the kids to get to run around. And one thing that came up last night as we were talking about it is that the selections that Paul has made accentuate or exemplify several of the different musical families in the orchestra. And in approachable, brief, friendly pieces that are familiar to people. So, Paul, run through the... sorry to do that to you, pal. Who are the basic solos?
Well, we have... Laurie's going to do Liebeslied of Fritz Kreisler. It's a violin solo. And there's a little solo in the Grieg section for Heather on the oboe. And there's a clarinet solo... And those are the main ones, although you'll be hearing lots of trumpet, got a real strong trumpet section, and they like to be enthusiastic. We have good strong players on all of the instruments, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, and this was inspired by a summer in Vienna.
Particular theme, yes.
Yes, and
well, I was a student at the Mozarteum in Salzburg, is studying conducting way back in the 70s.
Wow, and, what an experience that must have been.
And I was there for the whole summer because I went to the University of Salzburg Summer Academy for German Language and lived with a family that didn't speak English. So by the time we got back home in the end of July, I was speaking pretty good German. I mean, I've lost a lot of it, but I have some retained it. But one of them was these outings we would do, little weekend things. And of course, I went to Vienna. We was there getting towards the end of the summer when the fresh white wine was coming in out of the vineyards. And it's the common thing in Vienna to drink fresh wine at a Harringen, kind of an outdoor tavern, and there's just rows of them in the downtown Unter den Linden area, and then we'd also on weekends go up a little bit into the mountains where there are these, they're called Kurhaus, but we would call them a spa. So, because there's all through Germanic speaking Europe, there are natural springs, and they would make them into places where they'd have a beautiful hotel and a nice pool, and also always a band shell. And there was always a Kurhaus orchestra, and they played this kind of stuff that I was sharing with everybody on next week. A lot of it by Strauss, and in this case by Lehár or von Suppe. They're all sort of in the same category of less than deadly serious music, a little bit more happy-go-lucky and characteristic music. That's the story behind it.
Yeah, and it sounds like a perfect way to enter into summer is to have that evening, you know, just with the families and the community and the music behind you or in front of you, and you're sitting in a lawn chair or on a blanket and just taking it all in and right. letting yourself, you know, transport to wherever it is you want to go, wherever the music takes you.
Possibly we might even be doing some duets with some birds. I'm not sure.
It could happen. Absolutely. Yes. So you did bring some clips.
Oh, yes. Is,
which one would you like to
Oh, you start out with wherever you want.
Oh, my goodness. Let's do the Suppe morning, noon, and night.
Sure.
This is
a little overture, and it's atmospheric. I suppose it's the dawn, and there's maybe in the evening there might be a high holiday dance in the street or something. I'm not sure.
Should we just start from the beginning?
Go from the beginning.
Anything? Yeah, this is not a composer that I'm familiar with.
Well, he's very, very popular in the 19th century in Vienna.
And this is the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. So
they know a little bit about it.
They do. So let's take a listen.
So that was just a nice operatic style aria that von Suppe put in there. Maybe music for the digestion of your first couple of dark cups of coffee in the morning and getting ready for the day in this morning, noon, and night. Arising, dressing, Getting on with the day. Nothing namby-pamby about this music. It's very sincerely emotional. We'll go a little further into the next section. Let's go into the Allegro section here, and then we'll stop. A repeat of the opening as an interlude. So this is the busy life on Unter den Linden, downtown Vienna. Sun is shining. It's summertime. And so forth.
Well, that again is Suppé's Morning, Noon, and Night in Vienna. And we certainly saw a whole lot of different times and moods, and I thought it was interesting about that piece is the way they play with loud and quiet.
Oh, they sure do that. Yeah. Yeah, that's inherited directly from Herr Beethoven, by the way. He's the one that inspired the thought that you can do that kind of thing, to shock and amaze, shall we say, with music. And it's typical of the Viennese overture is that it's episodic. 30, 40 bars of this, 30, 40 bars of that.
So it goes, so you have almost, it's as if there are different pieces or different settings or moods.
Yeah, different moods.
Yeah.
That relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice in that case, they relate to each other to the extent that he repeated the beginning in the middle. Just to remind you, we're in Vienna, and it's the day.
Yeah, it's really a fun piece, and this was not a composer that I knew a lot about.
You do now.
A little more. A little more, yes. And so when you're presenting this to the orchestra, is there ways that you help them to get into the piece through, you know, accessing it through the history or the biography of the composer or the towns that it would have been performed in?
To an extent, and I think we were having this discussion just 15 minutes ago in the lobby, is that I don't want to talk necessarily down to the orchestra. In other words, tell them things that they might already know, or at least some of them might. But no, basically, with this concert and this level of difficulty of the music, and we have two rehearsals. So
with the whole orchestra, but I bet there's a lot of practicing that goes on in between.
We can hope.
Hopefully, yes.
We can hope. But anyway. So the primary motive and plan of action with regard to a two rehearsal concert of this such difficult music is the word panic.
Is that using to your advantage?
To my advantage.
And Clark, how about for you as a player? Because we forgot to mention that you play the violin in the orchestra.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. But what I would like to mention is that part of the thing that I find and others find very cool about the regional orchestra concept is that Paul is an inveterate professor. He can't stop teaching and exposing the community to stuff. So he is very resistant to just playing the same things over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And he selects a repertoire that he thinks, well, I am projecting a certain amount here, but I'm a professor too.
That's right.
He selects a repertoire that expands our experience and our competence and our knowledge in ways that include the experience of the orchestra as much, maybe not as much, but, you know, and also in consideration of what he's selecting for the audience, which is pretty cool. So this is the fact that most of us haven't played Soupy's is a good example of that. That mm-hmm. he likes to see us stretch ourselves in some interesting ways and get exposed to something that maybe we haven't played that much. And it's just part of his thing that we really appreciate.
So if you look at the history of these concerts now, this will be the fifth one. Excuse me. And then next fall will be the sixth. So that's six complete sets of repertoire. We are hopeful that in the future, the audience will have a certain amount of amnesia about what happened in the past so that we can rely on some of the work we've done with these six concerts to help us with the next few, at least in the sense that we will have seen some of this music before. And to be honest, for this concert, the Van Suppe are new, unique pieces. However, a lot of the other material comes from program material that we've done in other concerts, not necessarily outdoor concerts, but in the past. So, like last night, we had our rehearsal, and I would say that we kind of went through two-thirds of it. It wasn't a perfunctory rehearsal, but it was just a kind of reminder, oh, yeah, we know this stuff. We've played it before. So we can relax on that part and then focus on the stuff that we don't know as well, following along with Clark's estimation of what's going on in my brain in terms of being a perpetual professor.
It's a
I'm a psychologist.
Thing.
I can't help thinking about what's going on in your brain, even if it's, you know, it's funny. But I, you know, that said, since Paul brought up our repertoire, there's the prospect that we're going to be doing the some sections of the Messiah ahead in the next year.
Mm.
And that's something that we've played a few times in Faribault and here. It's always popular and always fun. And one of the things we're thinking about is doing some sections that are more related to the, what do we call the Christmas season?
The Christmas, Advent.
Advent, yes, rather than the...
You're talking about Lent.
Yeah, rather than Lent. Well, yeah, he's a little bit better at me
yeah,
than
this
that.
Is not, this is not cut in stone yet. This is just a thought. We also have a proposal on the table that sometime we're going to do another Fasching Viennese ball. Symphony ball.
Wow.
It would be in the spring before Lent.
So lots to look forward to.
Well, these are just all thoughts at this point. We're trying to flesh them out with practical matters.
And it points out how much in advance you have to do some of this planning.
This is late. But it depends on when they happen, of course.
Sure. And I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra and their series of concerts coming up next weekend. The first one is Friday, June 2nd at Oddfellows Park in Northfield at 7 p.m. These are bring your own lawn chair, blanket. You know, you can have a beverage, some snacks. There'll be ice cream and cotton candy at the Friday event, which is very exciting to have that. Mm-hmm. It creates the atmosphere of an ice cream social.
You can always associate food with music. I think it's a good idea.
Exactly. And then on Saturday, June 3rd, you'll be at the beautiful Central Park Band Shell in Red Wing at 3 p.m., which is another really great
it's
venue.
It's a relatively new venue and perfect for outdoor concerts. It mm-hmm. is just great. Right in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add that, I don't know, what do you think it was, Paul? 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we moved to an admission concept that's more a free will offering,
mm-hmm.
right? We used to focus on selling tickets ahead of time, and or at the door, and we've moved to a free will offering. Because that seemed both to us and the guild more in line with current ways of thinking about stuff, and also with our conception as a
community service.
Community service, yeah.
Sure, and it's harder at the outdoor concerts, right? To do the ticket taking, and
it's been very productive in the past.
People just
come forward,
and I'll just say that the guild staff have been fantastic the last few years. They show up, Andrea Shogren and Misha. What's Misha's last name?
Edwards.
Misha Edwards. And their predecessors, yes.
Yeah, they show up and make a real effort to offer the opportunity for folks to contribute.
How will people know where to contribute?
It'll become obvious at the event. There's, I believe Andrea will be there, and there'll be a table.
Yes.
And at the table, she'll sort of be there and have equipment for receiving envelopes, and the envelopes will be in the programs. And to go back to this, there's a couple of truths. One of them is, the first truth is that we do need support, and we consider ourselves volunteers, and we just need somebody to help us with the money part of things, which is primarily buying new music or renting it, equipment, rehearsal space, and advertising and all those kind of things. And the other truth is that people do not all have equal abilities to contribute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that any amount of generosity is welcome. We can suggest something like $15, but it's not necessary. We don't want to prevent anybody from being able to hear us. On the contrary, if it were up to me and if there was the money, I would pay people to come. but that's not the way it works. So we just need people to be willing to be as generous as they can. And that's the best we can do. You were asking us about what's the summer hold. Well, one other thing, of course, you know, the other hat that I wear is that I have been involved as the founder of the Vintage Band Festival, which is taking place on Saturday, and I want to say it's the 28th.
I think it's the 29th.
29th of July.
Yep. Oh, now, I've got the piece right here. July 29th from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Bridge Square.
Bridge Square, and there's going to be an array of wonderful music there. And it's another time when we, as a community, come together and celebrate who we are and what we can offer to the larger community. So I thought I would just mention in passing without any further comment.
Well, we'll be doing an upcoming show in July on Artsany Radio to talk about the specifics of the bands and how people can get involved. And that'll be upcoming, so people can look forward to that.
Right.
We have another piece. Do you want to get to that other piece?
Sure.
Okay. We'll probably not have quite as much time.
I would say start at two-thirds of the way through.
Two-thirds of the way through. It's almost 7 minutes. What's two-thirds of 7 minutes?
Five.
Okay, we'll go with five.
4:45.
We'll surprise ourselves and see what happens at 5 minutes here.
And this is also Von Suppe, and it's called the Light Cavalry Overture, and this is sort of in celebration of the kind of military life that was enjoyed or observed or witnessed in the Austro-Hungarian Empire in the 1800s, in which a lot of the military people were mounted. And the light cavalry meant that they were speedy, smaller horses, no wagons, sabers to the fore.
So that's the place we can put ourselves.
And this is all not too far from Hofburg, which is the royal residence of the emperor of Austro-Hungary, and at that time, and which a lot of ceremonies of that kind took place. Not unlike what we experienced a couple of weeks ago in London.
Ah, so a lot of pageantry.
So
I randomly picked the time. We'll see where we are in the music. It's going to be a surprise to all of us.
Well, let's see how we do.
Okay, here we go. This is Von Suppe, Light Cavalry Overture.
Or not.
That I should give credit to the symphony from Montreal, the Orchestra Symphonique de Montreal. I'm sure I mispronounced that, but that was a lovely piece. And you did. It took us right to that place.
Unbelievable.
We were all sort of bouncing in our chairs as we went through that.
As we went horseback riding.
Yes, that's right. And so there's not just all Von Suppé for this concert.
No,
so.
We've got some show music. We've got Les Miserables, wonderful medley with beautiful, beautiful tunes written by a French guy who's not known very well outside of this piece, but it's a classic novel that was made into a musical.
Copland.
Then we have Copland, but it's not associated with Les Mis. Yeah, Copland, no. We've got Grieg, and we've got it's a Wild Wild West theme song from the old,
from the old television show.
1960s
TV fan.
Oh, gosh.
That's because, the theme says in the poster, there's some film and movie classic stuff in there, which kind of brings it back to that notion that it's fun for families and, you know, you can sit down on a blanket, you can get up for 5 minutes and go get a cone and sit back down. And
the kids can gallop around.
Poke around in the park. And
there's a playground there.
Absolutely. It is a lovely evening, and it's a thrill to be able to share with our listeners, let them get that on their calendar. It goes on rain or shine, or what?
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about tornadoes. A tornado would stop us, probably.
But it's going to be a beautiful evening. I can already tell that it's
there's good. A kind of a plan B in the back of my mind about a rain date, but I don't see it coming.
Perfect. And it's both. You can go to one or both of the concerts. You don't have to pick.
No one will keep you away from the door.
That's right. Absolutely. And again, it's if you want more information, you can go to the Northfield Arts Guild website, northfieldartsguild.org. Again, look for the music tab and click on the CVRO.
There's advertising in the entertainment guide, and both online and in the paper copy.
So folks can find out additional information. It's really always just a wonderful evening. So if you haven't been, I absolutely encourage you to come and just immerse yourself in the beautiful music and the wonderful park and the atmosphere being together in community.
Summer is a-coming in the loudest in cuckoo, book of earth.
What language? You mentioned the title of that before.
Oh, it's just a... it's anonymous English.
No, it's Chaucer.
Middle
it's
English.
Chaucer.
Is it Chaucer? Ludsin Cuckoo, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's
his area of expertise.
I'm an English major.
Okay.
He's a music guy.
What fun we've had today. It's always great. I appreciate you coming in, celebrating with us. I want to thank Paul Nemestow and Clark Onosorge for being here and celebrating the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concerts coming up next weekend. This is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Please always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
Goodness, Clark, we didn't screw up.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. 7372.